Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy Larry, and you just tuned into Larry's Biblecast. How you guys doing today? Listen, today is a new week. Hopefully you guys are having a good day wherever you may be. Man, I'm gonna tell you, confession time right now. Get it right off the bat. It took me a while to get this recording out. Okay, this has been almost a whole week long. Partially is because I've been extremely busy of things that I was doing as far as, you know, work and things like that. Work does take precedence, unfortunately, over my recording sometimes. But for those of you that stick with me, I surely appreciate it. This episode is going to be truly worth the wait. It's rather lengthy, but I promise you that you're going to get something good out of this episode. This is day three of the devotional called Favor. And we're going to see in this moment or this episode how God's favor is given. And so important. It's going to be in the title of this episode that you've already read. And just understanding what is the prerequisite of favor. What is the prerequisite? We're not going to get into it, but I just want you to hear what this is going to be about. And I'm telling you, I pray that this is going to bless you. Now, second of all, as of this recording, there has been so much going on in our world. And I mean, what I mean by our world, I'm not just talking about the United States. Everything does happen in the United States. And perhaps things are going on in your world, too. And what I mean by that is your personal space or whatever, your family and friends, whatever it is, whatever's going on in your situation. I pray that the Lord works through that, whatever the situation may be. So I'm speaking that prayer that God will intervene and he will do and give you the wisdom and knowledge to go through whatever it is that you may be going through today or this week or this month. But listen, on the outside of our world, we have a bigger problem, okay? The world is witnessing a war that's going on right now. Russia is at war with Ukraine. Now, it looks like it's kind of a one-sided war, meaning that Russia is truly trying to attack this country, Ukraine. The reason why I want to bring this up, because I'm going to say this. First of all, pray for the people of Ukraine. And the reason why I say that, and that I'm going to say that, is nobody that should be attacked, okay? Nobody should be attacked, especially if they haven't done anything wrong. They haven't done anything to validate the attack. It's just wrong. Whether it's on a world scale level as this, or whether it's down the street from you, nobody should be attacking others, and God is not pleased with this. Understand this, though. God is also watching this. God has also been observing this for before this even happened. God knew that this was going to happen, okay? So God is ultimately in control. But I'm going to say this. Like never before are we living in a time that the Bible is almost fulfilling itself. The Bible is talking about, remember in Matthew, it talks about there will be wars and rumors of wars. And this is just one of them. OK, and I'm not saying that this attack or this war that we're looking at or observing right now is the one thing, but it is one of the things. As you read in what Jesus talks about, he talks about famine. He talks about pestilence. He talks about the world powers that are rising up. And there is discourse throughout the world. And among other things, we have the pandemic, which is a worldwide thing. Some people call it a plague. I've heard it being called as a plague, and could be judgment. We don't know. But know this, that in spite of all the things that we see and hear, that what's more important is the fact that you and I are ready and should be poised more than ever to be praying all the time for not only your neighbor, from your families, your neighbor, your friends, relatives, and those that you don't even know. Pray for people that are unfortunate, that are in the hospital, those that are homeless, those that need help, those that are addicted, those that are going through a tough time. I don't care whether it's on their jobs, whether it's down the street, in their families, whatever the situation might be. But at this moment, also pray for a foreign country. Pray for those that are going to war with other countries. Also, pray for the leaders so that the Lord can continue to try to intervene or to speak to the hearts and minds of men. Listen, God is not for violence in this nature, but at the same time, it's all a part of God's plan. Listen, as we go toward the future, we start to see things begin to start to refocus and starts to get more clarity. And the scriptures in the Bible, I'm not really big a very good prophetic teacher, which I'm not. But those that study prophecy, those that study the future that is being revealed in God's word, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelations, even I just recently heard about the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, to be more specific, where it talks about Russia and China in the Bible, Gog and Magog. It's very interesting videos. I would invite you to go and do some research on it. Some of these videos just came out recently about, you know, because we're living in with the current events that we have about Russia and Ukraine and how this plays into a bigger picture. Listen, don't let this scare you, because just only let this prepare you for what the coming of the Lord is soon to come. And again, this is a time in which I've never seen in my lifetime. And I want you guys to just really be prayerful, stay prayed up, stay encouraged, but stay vigilant. Those that have not been saved, begin to just really reach out to them and encourage them to get saved, just encourage them to get their lives right with the Lord. Because we don't have thousands of years. Some of us, because physically we just have a few hundred years, or maybe 100 years, maybe whatever. I know I'm just saying, you know, however many years, but it's so important that you give your lives to the Lord in the midst of the chaos that's happening in our world today. So pray for the people of Ukraine. Pray for those that are in other countries that are suffering violence and things, but also continue to pray for your relatives and friends and those around you. I'm not always trying to push things that are going on outside of our country and in our world, but this here has literally sucked the air out of the room when it comes to all the current events. And this is very important. So again, just want to mention that to you guys. I want you to enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. In the meantime, get some word and really stay encouraged. All right. Hope you enjoy this next episode. So let's go ahead and get right into this day three of favor. It's the devotional out of the YouVersion Bible app. And day two and day one has been pretty phenomenal, pretty good so far. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, I highly suggest you go back and check out what day one and day two's devotional was about, which was in favor as well. So let's get right into it. It's going to open up with a couple of verses here. And actually, you know what? I'm going to do something a little bit different that probably I should be doing, but I'm going to go ahead and do this real quick for the listening audience. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into this devotional this morning. Father God, we just thank you so much for everything that you have done for us, for waking us up this morning, for just providing for us and just giving us breath in our body and life to live, Lord God. And yes, our life may have ups and downs, but you have been faithful to us every step of the way. Father, I pray right now as we get into this devotional this morning that you speak to us, speak to our hearts and our minds, Lord God, and help us to apply this word to our lives. Help us to be receptive to this word, this devotional. And Lord, we thank you for your favor. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's see what this what God's word has to tell us today. And so this is going to be starting off in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 8. It says, simply says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And then it follows up by Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, that also says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent from the kingdom, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Forgiveness is a prerequisite for favor, and it is activated by our repentance. Let's read that again. Forgiveness is a prerequisite for favor, and it is activated by our repentance. The good news is that forgiveness is free through the blood of Jesus. We repent by acknowledging the wrong we've done in our thoughts, through our words, or by what we've done, and the sin we've committed. We ask God to forgive us by the power within the perfect blood of Jesus, and we turn from our wicked ways to walk the path of obedience. To obtain favor in your life today, first repent. This is not a once and done process. Repentance should be our response to every fault in our human nature that contradicts God's word. It is the process by which the blood of Jesus cleanses us so that we are able to walk uprightly before God our Father. Okay, let's go into Matthew chapter 3. And it's going to be quite lengthy here. So let's get into that. Actually, we're going to go backwards. So we're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19. It's a simple verse. And it says, now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. Let's read that one more time. Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. All right. Now we're going to jump to the first verse of the devotional in Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, here he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. Verse 4 says, John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist, for he ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all over all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them, saying, you brood of snakes, he exclaimed, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to serve, to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water, and the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. We're going to be right back right after this message. All right, so welcome back. So listen, let's take a step back on this devotional here. This is going to be a really good one, and let's reread this again about in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Now, this is very important. We have to live a life to, number one, of producing fruit. And with that being said, we have to constantly cleanse ourselves or repent from things that we do almost on a daily. We're not perfect. We're not everything that we should be. Remember, you know, we are forgiven. We are forgiven, and we do have salvation by faith. We are saved. But the life that we live is still not in perfect harmony with the will of God at times. You know, sometimes we still make our own choices. We still make mistakes. And we have to get to the place where our lives begin to match up with what God wants for us. Now, listen to this. And I say this again, forgiveness is a prerequisite for favor, and it is activated by our repentance. The good news is that forgiveness is free through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, okay? We repent by acknowledging the wrong we've done in our thoughts, through our words, and by what we've done and the sin we've committed. We ask God to forgive us by the power within the perfect blood of Jesus, and we turn from our wicked ways to walk the path of obedience. I want to really hone in on this part here, as we turn from the wicked ways. In other words, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as your Lord and Savior, by faith, you are, like the Bible says, like the Word says, that you are now a new creature. The old things, the old ways, the old things that you used to do and say, and the places that you used to go, and maybe even the friends that you used to hang out with, and things associate yourself with, the habits, they have all have been turned away. They have been done away with. So now you are now making a, what you call a 360 degree turn, or a complete turnaround in your life. And so praise God if some of you right now have done that. Praise God that if you have made that decision, whether it was today or tomorrow, I mean today or last week or last month or whenever it was, or maybe years ago, you are now a child of God. Praise God. And that doesn't mean that you keep up with the same ways. In other words, not only do you see a difference in yourself and the Lord is changing you from the inside out, but others will also see a difference in your life. Amen. So listen, when we talk about repentance, we talk about that. We talk about a walk in the other direction from your old life to the new life. Okay. And what it also tells us in this devotion, it says to obtain favor in your life today, first repent. Okay. This is a process. This is not a once and done process. Repentance should be our response to every fault in our human nature that contradicts God's word. It is the process by which the blood of Jesus cleanses us so we are able to walk uprightly before God, our Father. And that should be the goal of each and every one of us. Not just, you know, we just say a simple prayer and that's it. No, we got to begin to apply this word to our lives. We got to begin to put it into practice. What are you reading when you're reading God's word? Is it convicting you? Is it challenging you? Is it challenging you to be a better man or woman as you continue to walk with Jesus? Remember, a walk with Jesus is transforming. It's changing. It's life changing. It is changing you in a way that you've never, probably have never decided to walk before. And yes, you know, things are different all around you, and things might be challenging for you. But at the same time, God is constantly changing you for the better. And he's changing you from the inside out. His word, every time you read his word is challenging you. His word is convicting you. His word is making a transformation from within you so that you can become a better person. Amen. And you can begin to walk according to God's word and according to God's will. And that's how, as you walk toward repentance, the favor of the Lord, the blessings of God will come upon you and overtake you. It begins to run over you, right? It begins to be like a water just pouring over you. Amen. So this is the thing about that. You don't do good just to get favor. Favor comes upon you. It is a natural thing. And so, yes, like they said in the devotional, they said that forgiveness is a prerequisite for favor, and it is activated by our repentance. So you got to first repent, okay? Repent and accept the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ, that for the forgiveness of your sins. And so once that is done, then we begin to walk in a way that is right with the Lord. Now, as we read in Matthew chapter 3, it talks about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one that was preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Before Jesus Christ was put on the cross, before he volunteered to give his life on the cross, we had John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one that was preaching and preparing the people for forgiveness. For that, you have to repent. You see that? You see how in the devotional it was telling you about repentance. It was telling you about forgiveness is a prerequisite for favor, but it is activated by repentance. It is activated by repentance. So that means that repent, turn from it. Now let's go to verse 2 of Matthew chapter 3. It says, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Okay. And as he continues on here, as we go down to, matter of fact, we go down to verse 8 of Matthew chapter 3. It says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turn to God. See? So prove by the way you live that you have repented. Now, let's stop right there. This is an awesome verse because actually, believe it or not, this is actually the verse of the day that I had also opened up my Bible app and I saw this. And it's true. Other words, prove by the way you live that you have repented. How does people know that you've changed? By repenting of your sins and by turning to God. And as you turn to God and you're repenting of sins, guess what? People around you, whether it's your family, your friends, and those that know you, know the old you, they also now see the new you. Say, amen. Come on now. In other words, it's not just, oh, you're going to church more or you're reading your Bible more, but you are changing by your personality, your character, what you say, what you do. Maybe you was the type of person that was doing all kind of bad things. Maybe you told a lot of lies. Maybe you laughed about or you was rude. Maybe you was a rude person. Maybe you was one who was very evil minded, very vindictive, and you'd begin to change. Okay, there is a change in you. There is a change from the ungodly to the godly. Okay, and so this is what it says to each other. It says what he begins to explain to them. He says in verse 9, he said, "Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing." So listen to this. Descendants of Abraham was those that were the descendants of Abraham by faith. Abraham was the man that it was counted to Abraham as righteousness because he believed God. He trusted God, okay? And remember, it's not just that, but it is about repenting of your sins and turning to God, allowing God to wash you. And this is why John the Baptist was what they call John the Baptist. He was the one that baptized you. He was the one that washed you clean. Have any of you out there been baptized? In other words, baptism is if you've ever been baptized or watched someone be baptized, when you have made a decision to follow God, to follow Christ in your life, you are now baptized in water. That means you're submerged in water, and you, the preacher or the pastor lays hands on you and prays for you and baptizes you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and raises you up, and you are cleansed outwardly. It was an outward demonstration to those around you that you are no longer the same. You are now making a commitment and you are denouncing the ways that you used to walk, the lifestyle that you used to have. You are now moving from the way you used to walk to a new way. And this is what people do when they are baptized. When they go in the water, they are submerged from the old life before it is submerged in the water. And then you are brought up to new life as you are being brought up out of the water. That means the Lord has blessed you and the Lord has cleansed you. And now that is an act of repentance. And then your life, as you go from that point of time and that day, you begin to actively participate in repenting of your sins. What does that mean practically? That means the things that you might say or do or used to do, you don't do no more. The things you might slip up and might say a cuss word. You might slip up and say something out of turn. You might slip up and say things that you shouldn't have said or do things. And you say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for doing this. Forgive me from walking this way. Forgive me for doing those secret things and those things that..." Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing to do, to be good or be different in front of people. But when nobody's watching and when you're by yourself and only God is watching you, that right there is where it really counts. In other words, now that nobody's watching you, you have no reason now to just fake the funk, basically. Now what you can do is you can say, "Lord, I need your help," even in secret, even when nobody's watching me, even when I have no accountability. I want to make sure that I'm not, even though my wife or my husband is not watching me or what I'm doing, I want to do right because I want to be right with God. I don't want to do the wrong things. I don't want to say the wrong things. I don't want to go into places and do the things that I used to do because I want to be pleasing and honoring to the Lord. Amen. That is called repentance, and that is called turning from your old ways to God's ways. And yes, God will walk with you each and every day. God will walk with you each and every moment. And his word tells us this: if you're tempted in any way, he will always provide a way of escape. That is by faith. You have to look for that door. You have to look for that way out, right? Some of us, we want to just go ahead and say, oh, well, I couldn't help myself. Oh, yes, you can. You have to be honest with yourself. And you have to allow God to continue to work on you from the inside out, continue to work on your ways and what and your mind and change the things that you listen to, change the things that you read, the things that you, the conversations you have, change those things. Anything that goes in your body that is wrong, make sure you put things that are good in your body. The word of God, maybe some scripture each and every day, praying to the Lord, praising God with holy songs. Those are the things. And I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm talking about in a way that, listen, let's be real. If you have a situation where you are an addict, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it might be gambling or whatever, you don't go in the same places you used to go to get that alcohol or get them drugs or to go gambling. You don't go to those places. Why? Because you're trying to change. You're trying to make a new pathway for yourself. And that's the same thing it is with God's word. And that's the same thing it is with God himself, to repent and turn. And see, this is where you want to begin to work on that. As favor begins to be poured out on you in your life. Amen. So that's just something that I want to just continue to look at in this example here. And the wonderful thing about it is John the Baptist at this time knew that he had to prepare the way. He had to prepare a way for people to repent of their sins, but prepare for Jesus, because when Jesus came, Jesus was going to give them the Holy Spirit. Jesus was going to give them the power in which to live right. Okay, he was going to give them the ability to live right accordingly. Amen. So, yes. So what do you think about this so far? This is awesome. This is wonderful, right? And so listen, he says here, he talks about that he will baptize you. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay? He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. Okay, so these are the things that we begin to see. These are the things that we begin to see that is going to happen before favor is poured out on us. Amen. Are you getting some good out of this? I am. I am definitely getting some good out of this. I'm sure that some of you are just enjoying this as well. So listen, we're going to take a quick little break and we're going to be right back. We're going to continue on with the latter half of this devotional before we cut out. And yeah, just stay tuned. Hey, so welcome back. So we're going to go ahead and finish the latter half of this awesome devotional entitled Favor. And we just got through reading out of Matthew chapter 3 of John the Baptist baptizing and preparing the way for people to to come to God or to meet Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing to be probably living around that time, to know that before the Messiah was introduced or shown, or, you know, what they have seen of Jesus was just John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was utilized quite a bit in that time, in that region of the world, to prepare, like I said, prepare the way of the coming of Christ. And he was utilized by God to prepare people through repentance. And as I said before, one of the awesome things that we discover in this devotional that I love about this is that forgiveness is a prerequisite for favor, and it is activated by our repentance. And I think that this is something that we really need to focus on this day three devotional here. And so in chapter four, they give us the time in which Jesus had already came from chapter three. Excuse me. He was in chapter three, was baptized by John the Baptist. And as a result, even though John the Baptist did not want to or feel worthy to baptize Jesus, he still did and was obedient to do it. And Jesus himself was also obedient to be baptized as well. Now, just to kind of clarify something, you know, we know who Jesus is. You know, this is kind of after knowledge now that we know who Jesus Christ is. But it's important for us to understand that Jesus decided to he decided to go through every qualification. OK, even though he was the Son of God, or, you know, what we now know of him as the Son of God and Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he still in the physical when he came to earth, he went according to what was considered to be done. In other words, he went through his pre-qualifications for being the perfect sinless Lamb of God. Okay, it's important for us to understand that, you know, if we're going to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ himself also did whatever he was supposed to do in order to meet these qualifications, in order for him to be the example that we can all see. And it's so important. I think that Matthew chapter 3, as he was baptized, and some people may look at that scripture and say, why? Because Jesus Christ was who he was. Why did Jesus decide to be baptized? Well, first of all, he wanted to set the example for all people. Number two, Jesus didn't, you know, from what we know, Jesus didn't have a former life of sinfulness. He was in the physical, but he was not according to what the scriptures have described him in his earlier days as a boy, as he was coming of age, he was not a person that was disobedient, and he was following according to what we understand. He was following according to the will of God throughout his entire life, even throughout his youth. We don't know. There's a portion of scripture where it doesn't go into detail about all of his youth, you know, from the time of him being a little boy, from the time of him being a baby to the time of being a little boy, and then from his adolescent years and probably through his teenage years, you know. But now when Jesus comes on the scene in Matthew 3, he's now a lot older and a lot mature, and he's probably, I'm suspecting he's probably in his 30s, and, you know, so that's just my guess. I know there's some historians that could tell us, you know, exactly how old Jesus was when he was baptized and when the ministry began. So this is where we're going to pick up on continuing on this devotional. The purpose of this devotional is showing us about favor and how the Lord give us favor also in the midst of us repenting. Remember, it's so important. And this theme of this, I'm noticing this theme of today's day three devotion of this is about repentance. So let's continue on here. So we're going to go into a little bit of Matthew chapter 4. And it's talking about where in verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. The scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Verse 7 says, Jesus responded to the devil, basically saying, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." And then he responds back to him again and says, "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away. And the angels came and took care of Jesus. I want to emphasize something. Verse 11, then the devil went away. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, some of you right now may understand this. You know, sometimes the devil does not like it when you give your heart and your life to God. When you decide to commit your life to the Lord. I mean, and I'm not just talking about, you know, doing the legalistic things or just trying to be good in your own. We're talking about giving your heart and your soul completely over to him. In other words, committing your life to him, devoting your life to him. Remember this, the devil doesn't like it. You are a threat to the kingdom of God, okay? And so just to let you know, if you are a new Christian, praise God that you're a new Christian, that you've given your heart and your life over to him, and that he is the Lord of your life now, and that you have decided to walk with Jesus. You decided to give your life to Jesus, and now you are his. You are a child of God. Amen. And so this is the awesome thing. But the reason why I wanted to emphasize this, because Jesus went through the same thing. So now Jesus went through several things here, as we note here in Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Listen, I want you to really pick up on this right here. It says, then Jesus was led by who? By the Spirit. Now, this is not the small spirit. This is not a demonic spirit. This was the Holy Spirit. I know this kind of goes against a lot of people's theology that God won't lead you into an area to be tested or to be tempted. But according to this, according to the scriptures, what we're reading in Matthew 4, the Spirit of God is the one that led Jesus into the wilderness. Now, listen to this. You know, God will not put you or not put you in a situation that is too hard for you to handle. I'm going to say that one more time for those that are listening. God will not put you in a situation that he knows that you can't handle. Now, some of you out there are saying, well, you know, I've been through some pretty rough stuff. I've been through some pretty bad situations. And that is true. But remember this, God understands you. Sometimes God understands you better than you know yourself. He understands what you can handle. He understands what's in you. Has your parent, your mother or father has ever told you this? They say to you, maybe as a child or a person growing up, they told you that I know what's in you. I know it's in you because you're a part of me. I am you're a part of me. You're my son. You're my daughter. So they know what's in you. They know what you can do, what your abilities are. They know what your makeup is. Jesus himself, God knew who Jesus was. Okay. And I'm not trying to separate this in a way that there were two different persons. Remember, God was Jesus in the flesh. Okay. Jesus was God in the flesh. I kind of said that backwards, but Jesus was God in the flesh. God knew exactly what he had to go through. He knew exactly. And this was done on purpose. Remember this. Everything that we read about Jesus Christ in the scriptures is done intentionally. It is done on purpose. It is done with the intention for Jesus to be pre-qualified and qualified to be the man that we know him to be today, to be the sacrificial lamb of God, to be the sacrifice for sin. Okay. So Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist, now being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Listen, Jesus was not weak at all. So verse 2, he says, for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. Why did he become hungry? Because he was in a physical body. Listen, you fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Tell me you're not going to get hungry. You're not going to get thirsty, right? So 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. He fasted not just because he fasted with the intent on focusing and recommitting his life to the Lord in such a way that he had to bring his body into submission. He had to bring the physical body into submission. He had to bring it to the place of ultimate obedience and dedication and devotion to what he was getting ready to do. Listen, he wanted all of the Spirit. Do you know sometimes, And this is not so much in regards to fasting, but sometimes we need to empty ourselves out and fill ourselves up with the Spirit of God. If you're going to fast, first of all, make sure if you are healthy enough to fast, if you are the type of person that's not on a diabetic or like a diabetes or something like that of that nature where you have to eat. But remember this, anytime you fast, it is something that you are doing in dedication to the Lord. You are emptying or setting aside something so that you can be fully dedicated and fully focused on the Spirit of God. Okay. So remember that fasting, you're emptying yourself out of things that may have distracted you, worldly things, whatever things that you have in your life that is a distraction from the devotion that you want, that you need to have with God. And so you empty that part of your life out. You empty that time slot, whatever it is. It might be a time that you're on your phone, time that you're watching television, a time that you're eating something that you shouldn't be eating. You know, fasting could be healthy as well. It could be also a way for you to lose weight, but that is not the primary goal for fasting. The primary goal is to empty yourself out so that you can refocus and give your attention fully to the spiritual things. In other words, the physical body needs to be put into submission so that the spiritual body can take precedence and take priority in your life so that you can begin to line yourself up with the will of God. All right. During that time of fasting, you're getting communication, you're praying, you're devoting time in the scriptures, you're doing all these things to refocusing. It's almost like I almost want to compare it to getting ready for a race, getting ready for some kind of sport. Maybe you go into the gym. Maybe you decided, I'm going to go to the gym. I need to stop eating the things that I normally eat. I want to eat more healthier. I want to take some protein shakes or whatever the case is. And you go into the gym, and what you're doing is you're preparing your body. You're getting your body in a condition. And same thing with fasting. Fasting needs to be focused, and it needs to be directed, and it needs to be done intentionally on purpose for a purpose-driven thing, which it comes to the Spirit of God. Amen. So some of us do need to fast so that we can empty ourselves out of the things that we have been distracted with so that we can get closer to God, so we can focus on the Spirit of God, and so that the Spirit of God can now get our attention, and we can now focus solely on God and whatever it is that God is asking you to do. So this is just kind of a side note. I know I did a lot on that, but I want you to understand that how fasting is used, but also what Jesus was doing here. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and became very hungry. Now, during this time of fasting, during that time, the devil came to him. You notice this. You notice how he you know, it wasn't so much he was just fasting, and so that's why the devil comes to you. No, the devil came to him because the intention of his fasting, the focus on his fasting, right? His fasting was focused. And so guess what? The devil now came to him and says, if you're the Son of Man, tell these stones to turn into loaves of bread. Now, first of all, the devil tempted him with something that he knew his physical body wanted. His physical body wanted food and was ready for food. We don't know exactly whether it was at the end of his fast, but we also know it was probably during the time of his fast. It's when the devil came. So remember that. If you're trying to focus your attention on God, the devil's going to try to come to you, tempt you in the midst of the time that you are trying to spiritually focus on the Lord. And he's going to come to you to break that concentration, to break that focus that you have. You are intentionally focused on the Lord. And guess what? The devil doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't even want you getting close to God, okay? So now what is he doing? He's trying to come in and he's trying to interrupt that. He's trying to intervene. He's trying to stop you. He's trying to distract you. Ever notice that when you start reading the Bible or you praying, you decide you want to give your heart and life to the Lord, the devil is always going to come in and try to distract you. He's going to come in and try to interrupt that focus. Like, man, what you doing? What are you doing? You think you're trying to get close to God? You trying to read your Bible? You trying to pray? Man, you know what? Come over here. Look over here. Look what I got for you. I got this on television. I got this on your phone. This person calling you, you need to answer that phone. You need to get involved with this conversation. Whatever the case is, whatever it is, you know, just like I know, there are certain things that the devil just knows what you like. This is one of his attributes as the devil. His whole goal is to get you to sidetrack you and to distract you from the things of God. Amen. And Jesus was no different. He knew Jesus was in the wilderness. He also knew that he was hungry. So guess what? He came and said, if you're the Son of God. You see how he, in this verse here, he was trying to put, as if he was trying to put doubt in his head. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. But you know what I love about Jesus? And this is something that we also have to understand. Jesus was setting an example for us, even during fasting, even during his time of focus. He says, Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You notice that? He quoted the scriptures. I'm sorry about that. He quoted the scripture out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. You can look that up. It's the Old Testament. He says, people do not live by bread alone. Now, he's not saying that we shouldn't eat. He's not saying that. But he is also addressing why the devil was trying to tempt him with physical contentment, basically, okay, and saying that we should not live just by bread alone, just to feed our stomachs, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God or from the word of God. Listen, our true living comes from the word of God. Our true living comes from the Bible. You want to get nourished? We get nourished through the Spirit by spiritually being fed by the word of God. When the word of God is being read, guess what? You're feeding your spirit, man. You're feeding that spirit, man. You're getting closer to the Lord, but you're learning how to walk with God. You're learning how to be obedient to the Lord. You're asking, your prayers are more directed when you read the word of God. Some of you, as you read the word of God, you start to learn how to pray better. Why? Because you're trying to get focused. You get your concentration aligned. Your mind, your body, and your spirit. The body is going to follow after what's going on in your spirit. Whatever's going on in the inside of you, your body's going to follow. Guess, look, when you did wrong, when you do the things that you were doing, the way you was living before, guess what? Whatever was going on inside of you, it was going to result in what you did on the outside. It was going to result in what your body was going to do. Amen. So, you know, just some food for thought on this. Listen, this segment's getting a little bit long, but I do have some more to share. I want you to stay tuned. I got a little bit more, and just stay right back. Get right back to you. And we're going to continue on. All right, so welcome back. So let's get right into, let's continue on with Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to jump right back into the scripture portion. This is chapter 4, verse 5. And this is the second temptation that Jesus was hit with, or tempted, or I guess tried to test him during the time of the wilderness. In the wilderness, okay? And this one here in verse 5, it says, "Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, 'If you are the Son of God, jump off. The scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.'" Now, let me go back to this in chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. So verse 5 and 6, when it says the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. I want you to take notice of this. You notice where the devil took him, okay? The devil took Jesus to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. Isn't that amazing where, you know, the devil took him to a place of where worship is, where basically what we know of as church. This will be almost comparison to, say, the biggest cathedral in, say, Rome, or Catholics, you know, where they come from all over the world and come to worship at St. Peter's Cathedral. It's like the most sacred place that people go to worship. And I thought this was interesting because the devil took him to the holy city. Remember, even to this day in Jerusalem, Jerusalem is considered a Mecca. It's a place where people come, and they come from all over the world. Jews and other ethnicities come to Jerusalem, to the holy city. You know, if you notice at least on television, I've never been there myself, but the holy wall where the people come, and they have the wailing wall where people come and pray, and they petition the Lord there. And so, you know, the devil comes and takes him to the holy city, but not just the holy city itself, but then he goes to Jerusalem, which is the most central place, and then to the highest point of the temple. And so these are very significant, I would say these are very significant temptations. And why would he ask the Son of God to jump off? He told him, he says, "If you are the Son of God, then jump off." That means literally throw your body off the top of the temple. You know, this is something that I really struggle with understanding myself, because we're talking, you know, telling someone to throw themselves off and of a high building. But not just that, but it was significant because of who he was and who he is, who Jesus is, and where that the devil wanted him to throw himself off. Isn't that amazing to me, to you? I mean, excuse me, this, I'm talking to myself too, but this is very important. Now, he says, he twists the scriptures where he says that he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Now, he misquoted this. In other words, this is a prime example of the devil twisting scripture. It's in the scriptures. You can read this. And this one is found out of Psalms chapter 91, verses 11 and 12. And this was used out of context just so that he can combat Jesus with scripture. Because remember, the former temptation, Jesus told him about, you know, turning stones into bread. Now, here comes the devil, and now he's not only challenging him to do something that is clearly wrong, and then he tells him that he's going to take the scripture and he's going to twist it. He's going to pervert the scripture, okay? And then Jesus responds in verse 7, and it says, the scriptures also say, he says, you must not test the Lord your God. This was also found out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Very important here to recognize this. Remember, the devil, he will try to ask you or tempt you to do the most heinous and craziest of things. And this was one of the things that would have also, I would say it would have also been sacrilegious. It would have been desecrating the temple of God or what people considered holy. You know what I'm saying? And so for Jesus himself to jump from that place, I mean, people don't normally do this. They don't normally get on top of a temple like this in the holy city in Jerusalem and jump off. Why would he tell him to do that? It kind of boggles my mind, as you can tell. And so then after that, he says, like I said, he responds back to the devil, tells him that you must not test the Lord your God. Okay. Listen, he figured the higher the risk, God's definitely going to protect you. Don't worry about it. I mean, I can't believe he even took him to that place. But again, this is the devil we're talking here. Now, verse 8 says, the next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Then he responds, get out of here, Satan. Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Now, in this example right here, the devil doesn't use any kind of scriptures to twist the scripture. But it's funny, again, because of the type of temptation it was before. Now, this is a different type of temptation. He takes him to the highest a peak of a very high mountain. We don't know exactly where, but he is now above, basically high above so many feet in the air, right? And he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. How is this happening? Is he able to just visualize it? Is he showing him a vision of all the kingdoms of the world? And what I mean by kingdoms, that means the world powers. I mean, today that would be considered the United States. That would be considered Russia. That would be considered China. That would be considered India. That would be considered Europe, all of Europe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these are all these kingdoms, right? And so we don't know whether he was showing him the future tense of these kingdoms. We don't know whether it was showing him at a time in his day. We don't know how it was looking, but he showed him the kingdoms. But what blows my mind about this is that the devil took him, not just where he took him at, but he showed him all the kingdoms. And then what he said, verse 9, he says, I will give it all to you. If he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Now, this came to the point where I think that the devil says, this last temptation, okay, is I'm going to tell you exactly what I want. I want you to worship me. I want you to kneel down and worship me. I want you to, basically, he interrupted his fasting. He interrupted his time of focusing on God, and he wanted him to kneel down and pledge his allegiance to Satan. That means that he would have disqualified him of ever of the intention of what God wanted his son to do. Okay. And Jesus tells him, get out of here, Satan, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Okay. Now, listen, guys, this is so important. If he had committed any of these sins, he would have been disqualified. He would have been disqualified as the Son of God. We wouldn't be talking about the Bible today, more than likely. We wouldn't have a way to get to heaven, okay? Jesus was doing this so that he can be qualified. He went through the baptism, and after he was washed and cleansed and ready, then he went through the time of testing by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. And the devil tempted him in three ways. In the physical, he tempted him by way of desecrating everything that he would have been about by jumping off the temple in the holy city of Jerusalem. And last of all, he would have been bowing down to the devil, okay, just so that he can be given all the kingdoms of the world. Pride, basically, give it all to you. Can you imagine the devil coming to you? And maybe some of you may have had this temptation where he's telling you, I'm going to give all this to you if you just do what I tell you to do. If you just give your life to me, I will do this. I will give you this. See, I'm going to tell you something. We don't know, first of all, let me just backtrack on this last one. We don't know whether the devil could have lied to Jesus. This could have all been lies. My father used to tell me that the devil is the father of lies, right? He is the king of all liars. So who knows whether or not the devil saying these things to Jesus was a truth. And Jesus didn't care whether it was the truth or not. You know why? Because he was giving him the word of God. Whenever the devil is trying to tempt you, trying to come at you, and remember, these were some temptations of Jesus, but there are temptations that you and I face every single day, moment by moment sometimes, where the devil come to you and say, hey, why don't you do this instead of doing that? Why don't you steal this or not steal that? Why don't you cheat? Why don't you commit adultery? Why don't you, you know, all these things that he will come in different ways. Remember, the devil is a master manipulator, okay? And another thing I want to mention this before we get off of this is that the devil can't make you do anything. I've heard it many times, people in the world or sometimes these sayings, or I even heard songs, the devil made me do it. Listen, the devil can't make you do nothing. The devil can tempt you. He can suggest things to you, but he cannot make you do anything. The only person that does that once it becomes a sin is you. You're the one. Other words, the devil comes and gives you a suggestion. He gives you a temptation because, you know why? And the reason why it's a temptation, let's kind of deal with that real quick. The reason why it's a temptation is because something inside of you and me has a way of feeling like, I really want to do this. It's the flesh. This is one of the reasons why it's so important for us to understand about our flesh and about the spirit man. It's so important, going back to the fasting, about how we need to refocus our attention on God so that our spirit man can be more stronger than the flesh. The flesh is always going to want to do things that are contrary to the word of God and contrary to being obedient to the Lord. Anytime you're trying to walk with God, the flesh is going to resist. It's going to resist. It's going to not want you to do the things that are right according to the will of God. But the spirit is the one that has to be strengthened. And so this is why that Jesus himself, he went through the wilderness experience and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He had to consecrate. He had to have a time of consecration, but he also had to put the flesh in check. We have to be able to put that flesh in check, whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, whether it's prideful and our character. Those are the things. when I say about really putting the flesh in check, I'm not just saying your physicality, but I'm also talking about your character. I'm talking about the way you think and your mentality. What makes you make the decisions, the wrong decisions that you make? When somebody wants to get you mad, are you really, really quick to cuss them out? Are you really quick to tell them something coming out of your mind? Are you really quick to just give them a piece of your mind really quick? Are you quick to get angry? So those are the things that that God wants to work on. Those are the things that when we fast or we give ourselves over to the Lord and consecrate ourselves, that is what we're doing. We're trying to put to death the deeds of the flesh. The flesh wants to do the things it wants to do. It wants to resist the good. And so guess what? The devil, that's what the devil's job is. Anytime you want to focus on your on the Lord, the devil will come in. Now, the one thing that I like about this, and we'll close it out here, is after he came at him, after he came at Jesus, right, with three different temptations, then verse 11 says, the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. Verse 11, the devil went away. Now, I'm going to scroll back up to where the beginning of Matthew 4 says. It says, during that time, the devil came. The devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Then you go down to verse 11, and what does it say? After he came at him, after Jesus came at him with the word of God and told him, and at the end told him to get out of here, Satan, and gave him the word again, the devil went away. Okay. Message, something to remember here. I want you guys to remember this. No matter what you're tempted with, no matter what temptation that you are faced with, the devil can, number one, he can't make you do anything. He can tempt you. With every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. Number three, the devil will go away. Now, he won't go away always. He will come. He'll go away for a season, like some people have. I've heard people say. Sometimes the devil will go away for a season. Why? Because his job is to tempt you. That's all his job is to do. If you keep coming at him with the word of God and you keep resisting, you know, the Bible, there's a scripture. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of this. It says that resist the devil and he will flee. Okay? That means resist his temptation, his suggestion, right, to you. And he will go away, okay? He will go away. He cannot stay in your presence if you keep resisting and you keep coming at him like Jesus did with the word of God. I'm gonna say that one more time because I want you guys to hear this. He cannot stay and keep at you if you keep resisting and keep battling him with the word of God. He can't stay in your presence. He got to go away. He got to go somewhere else. Maybe he's going to go somewhere and tempt somebody else. I don't know. But he's got to go away from you if you keep at him with the word of God. Remember this, the word of God is a sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's why it's so important for us to know the scriptures. Read the scriptures, memorize the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, because guess what? The devil is real. Your flesh will want to submit and surrender to the devil just like the devil wanted Jesus to submit to him. Okay? Remember that. The last thing he said to him was, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. So important in our Christian walk. Okay, so important. There's much more to read in Matthew chapter 4, but we're going to continue on with the last verse. And the last verse is very simple and very short. It simply says, and this is out of the book of Acts, and it says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Now repent of your sins and turn to God. Listen, if you listen to me right now and you have and you feel like you've committed sins and stuff and you feel convicted, then this is the scripture for you. It says, now repent and turn to God. Simple. You don't have to do a lot. You have to repent. That means you have to confess. You have to confess to the Lord that you have done wrong. You have to confess. Confession brings about repentance. That means you are turning and turn to God. And it says, so that what? Your sins may be wiped away. Listen, I know some of us, sometimes we used to discipline. We used to people disciplining us, our parents, our moms, our fathers, or whatever, however way you grew up. But I'm going to tell you, God is the type of God that he wants to wipe your sins away. He wants to wipe the sins away. In other words, it doesn't benefit God in your life or my life for you to repent of your sins and turn to God, and he just keep barraging you over and over again of the things that you've done. It doesn't benefit him. If crushing your spirit, you will be no good. But he wants to what? He wants to wipe your sins away. Why? Because he wants you to become better. He wants you to, after you repent and after you turn to God, he wants to wipe away. Just like a child. Just like when they're running and maybe they fall into some dirt or some mud or something. Then what do you do? You don't sit there and just look at what you did. Look at how you just dirtied yourself up just going. And you don't clean them up and you don't wipe the dirt from them. That's the same way it is with God. Listen, you fall into sin. I fall into sin. Okay, and you're convicted. You feel bad. You feel you shouldn't have done it. You failed. We've fallen short. But it says here, it says turn to God. It doesn't say run away from God. It doesn't say hide from God. It says turn to him so that he may do what? He may wipe your sins away. Listen, God loves you so much. And all he wants us to do is to turn to him with our whole heart, with our whole heart. And am I saying that you're not going to have any bad days? You're going to have some bad days. You're going to have some good days. But guess what? God is there to continue to bring you into a good place. Now, I know this devotion was only day 3 of favor. And guess what? One of the things that we experience favor with God is the fact of salvation. I want you guys to really consider, if you're not saved, to be saved, to get saved. So very important. Okay? So I'm gonna give you the invitation. I'll be right back. And I got a little bit more to share. Hey, so welcome back. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Larry's Biblecast. This was day 3 of favor, and I hope that you got something out of it like I did. Before we leave you today, I want to invite you to take seriously about giving your life and your heart to the Lord. We learned in this episode, we learned about how Jesus, you know, he took his mission seriously. He first was baptized in order to be qualified to be the Son of God, to be the sacrificial Lamb of God. Then he went through the temptation process. He went through and he basically challenged Satan, but he also was victorious over Satan's temptations in his life. Okay. And I'm sure after that, he became more empowered by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God empowered him. And this is what's important to you today, that I want to share with you today. One of the things that is so important out of everything that we've talked about in this episode is that you give your life and your heart over to God. And I'm not just talking about, you know, doing things like going to church and reading the Bible. Those are very important. Matter of fact, those are the things that after I tell you these things, it's so important that you will want to go to church and you will want to read your Bible and pray more. Those are things that you do anyway. But I want this to be something where you focus your heart, your soul, and your mind to devote yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it simply says this: for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standards. Guess what? None of us are perfect. We are all messed up. We all have done things. We have sinned. We have been ashamed of. We have things that we've done in our past, whatever it might have been. Okay. We don't need to know all the details, just like you don't need to share the details to anybody. But that's what it says. That is our status as sinners. Okay. But the scriptures say this in Romans 3:10, verses 10 and 12, and then verse 23. It says, so no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Okay. Now it says here, the sin that we commit. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Then Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The last thing I want you to really understand is in Romans 10:9. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Now, this is so important. The reason why I say this is one of the most important verses is because, number one, you have to make a decision to give your heart, your life, your soul to Jesus Christ. Jesus gave it all for you. He went through the temptation. He went through the sacrifice. He even went through a horrible death. He went through physical pain. He went through abandonment. He went through everything that we would have went through. And most importantly, he went through the abandonment of his Father God. Listen, he died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to suffer abandonment from God. Do you realize that if you were to die right now without Jesus in your heart, with Jesus in your life and accepting the Christ's death on the cross in your life, do you know that you will be separated from God for all eternity? That means you will know what true abandonment is. You don't want that, and God doesn't want that for you either. So this is such an important moment in this time right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. I know you had a lot of time to think about what you need to do in your life. Well, I'm telling you, right now is the right time to give your life to God. Don't wait not even a second. So why don't we go ahead and end this episode with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for my listeners, those that are listening to me, and those that may hear this episode. Father God, I ask right now that as they dedicate their lives to you, that you just continue to grow them and mature them in you, Lord God. Lord, open your presence to them in a way that they understand that they will accept you. Now, Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I ask right now to forgive them of their sins. Lord, if they ask for forgiveness and they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that we depend on the Lord Jesus for dying on the cross for us, that we are forgiven and we are saved. Just repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my waywardness, my walking away from you. And Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that I ask you to forgive me. and I ask to wash me clean of my sins. I believe in your sacrificial death on the cross. I accept it in my heart, and in my heart and in my life, I want to follow you. I want to love you, and I want to know what a relationship is with you. Right now, this day, I give my heart and my life to you. Lord, help me to walk and be a better person in my life. Help me to dedicate my life to you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, whether you prayed this prayer like I did, the way I did, or whether you just said it in your own way, if it came from your heart, it came from you, and you were sincere about it, then I'm sure you'll know that you're accepted into the family of God, but you are one of his kids. You're one of his son, his daughter. And you know what? It's a process. It's gonna take a process. Being saved is instantaneous. It happens automatically. So praise God. If you prayed that prayer and you accepted it by faith, that you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you are forgiven. And I'm happy for you. But now continue to devote your life to the Lord. Remember, the scripture ended with, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Jesus is faithful. This is why he died on the cross. This is why he gave his life for you and for me and for the rest of all humanity. It's so that we can be forgiven, but we can begin to learn how to walk in a new life in God, according to God. This is not just beneficial for God. No, you're not just doing it for him. You're doing it for yourself. And guess what? As you walk according to the Lord, into God's will, reading your Bible, praying, worshiping, all those things, guess what? You're going to get closer to the Lord. You're going to discover him in a more intimate way. And as you grow, others will see the growth in you. They will see the impact and how God lives and works in you. And guess what? The Spirit of God will begin to reside in you. The things that you did, that you struggle with the flesh, you won't struggle no more. Not as much. The devil will always try to come and tempt you. He will always try to pull you away from the things that you used to do, the places you used to go, the lies that you used to say or tell, just the wrongdoings that only you know about. The secret sins, the things that you do when nobody's watching you. The devil will try to always meet you in those moments so that there's no accountability, that you can just keep hiding that sin. But guess what? You need to come out into the light. Bring that out and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be right. I want to be right, and I want to be loved, and I want to be truly a man and woman of God. And guess what? It's not a struggle. God will take away those desires. God will take away that desire to do the things that are wrong. Even those habits. I don't care whether you're struggling with drugs, whether you're struggling with drinking, whether you're struggling with any type of addiction. Ask God, plead and cry out to him and say, God, take this away. Take this away. I just don't want it no more. And I guarantee you, God will hear your prayer. And he knows it's your sincerity. And with every temptation that comes upon you, he'll provide a way of escape. And the devil will go away. He has to flee from you. He has to go away from you every single time. And remember, the devil can't make you do nothing. He can only suggest things to you, and he can only tempt you. Listen, I hope this was a really good episode for you. And again, stay tuned for the next episodes of Favor. We got a whole lot more to go through. Sorry for the lengthy recording today, but I just felt in my spirit that somebody like you needed to hear this. All right. Until the next time, God bless you. God bless your family. And stay prayed up. Stay in the Lord. Bye-bye.